So when you approach somebody a certain way, you get a certain result from them. I'm excited to be able to approach this word like a love story. I like the love story that it is. I said that last time. I'm going to read this in the book. But it's just one big long love story from God to us. It's one big, he just inviting us into his heart. There are deep-rooted things in the word of God that are deeply rooted into the heart of God. There are prayers in this Bible, there are things that you can read in this Bible that go straight to the heart of God. If you just get them on the inside of you. If you just take them and approach them properly. And so it's exciting to me because this word will yield so much more. I know your studying probably been different now that you wasn't doing no duty this week, right? No duty, not trying to get close to God this week, right? You already approached like you was close to him, right? And so now when you approach the scripture, when he sets something in there now, you hear a different tone. You don't hear a dictator telling you what to do. You hear a father loving on you. You're a father sharing his heart with you. That's really what it's about. Living by this book is really learning the heart of God and hearing his heart as a father. You know what I'm saying? I know he's the love of everything, and I know he's the Most High, and you know we can call our names all day long, can't we? Can't we? But at the end of the day, this love story shows me God as my father. It's a different relationship. Boss, father. Huh? I mean, y'all got a boss, all right? So think about your boss for a second. Sometimes he ain't going to treat you like he your daddy. He ain't going to care for you like that. You better get my work done. If the boss say, get my work done, I'm about to let you go. Right? Yeah. Boss say, do what I told you to do. I'm going to have to release you. You got to find another boss. God ain't never told us that. God said, it's wisdom for you to do what I told you to do. Because I know the other end of it. But if you happen not to do what I told you to do, just ask me to forgive you. And I'll throw it into the sea of forgiveness. Act like it didn't happen and put you back in like you never did nothing. See, this type of love we got to see from God. We got to stop seeing him as somebody up there trying to strike us when we mess up. Well, how many times you done messed up? Too many. I'm talking myself. Too many. And yet he bring me back like I didn't even do nothing. He bring me back like I never, because he just showed me. He showed me that he loves me. Say this, say God loves me. Come on, say it again. Say, God loves me. Come on, say it again. God, I want you to say it like this. Now, listen to me. I want you to, God, I'm going to say it slow. I want you to say, God, you got to make it personal. God loves me, like of all people. That he could have chose to pick the love. All y'all in this room, all these other people. God loves me. That's powerful. It is not because you love God. It's 1 John. It's not because you love God, but because he loved you. He loved you first before anything you could have done that was lovable. All right, this is, and I say this with all respect to God, but this is the person that we're talking about. This is the person that this Bible is about. These are our words from this entity. These are words from this being. That same one that loved you first, that same one that knew you before you was formed in the belly, Jeremiah chapter 1, that same one that knew you, ordained you a prophet before anything ever happened, before you ever came to ministry school. That same one got his words written in that Bible. You don't even know what you be carrying around sometimes. I think we don't even get it sometimes. And the traditions of men have made the word of God another effect. It's powerful. So if we take this traditionally, then it don't affect us. Not that it's not effective. The love of God is stronger than anything that's ever existed. But it can't affect you if you take it traditionally. You're trying to walk tradition. Tradition don't never lead nobody to love. So we don't know what we carry around. Even if it's in the iPad, I got my iPad, or even when we put the word of God in our hearts and in our minds, you really don't know what you got. You don't know what you got. He's singing love songs to you all day long. He's writing these love letters to you. These letters to the church, he didn't use a man to write them, but he's writing a love letter to you. Now, love ain't always, dancing under the stars. It ain't always a peach of cream like you think it is all the time. Sometimes love is correction. We're going to talk about correction and rebuke and training. But I'm doing this because I love you. And we talked about that a little bit last week, too. Remember that, catching them whoopings? It's still love. You don't like it, but it's still love. Like and love ain't got nothing to do with each other. So my approach, and we can't stop today. I'm gonna keep saying that. I'm probably gonna say something about a love story every time we have this class, because we gotta understand what we're reading. We gotta understand this. These are love letters to us. This is the heart of God to us. The Word of God were written by men inspired by the Holy Ghost. That means they were inspired by the Holy Ghost, which is part of the Trinity, which is a part of God. They were inspired to write these things to us. God was trying to get a message over to us. God was trying to get a message over to us and really show us what we're supposed to look like. He was trying to show us who we really are. That's what this Bible is about. This book that we're living by, that's what it's about. If it ain't in that book, it ain't in me. Or it shouldn't be. Y'all get me? Living by the book, no tradition. Everybody say no tradition. Come on, say no tradition. Say it again, no tradition. Come on, say it a little louder. Say no tradition. No tradition. Don't you ever, you're disrespecting God when you approach him traditionally. Because it's like machinery. It's like you approach him like a machine, like he a computer or something. You can't approach God like he's a computer. Hold on, let me talk about this for a minute. You can't approach God like he's just a production machine. I know we hear this sometimes a certain way. If I'm always go to God because you want something. You ever heard somebody say that before? I'm going to God because you want something. That's a true statement. We can't approach this word because we want something. Why do you read the Word of God? Good question, huh? It's all love. The study of the Word of God, it's all love. I'm going to show you something. It's all love. Everybody say it's all love. You can, and this is all Bible. We ain't got the time to go there because the class is short. You can sing with the tongues of angels and have not love, it profit you nothing. You can prophesy all day long. That's 1 Corinthians 13, huh? You can prophesy all day long, but you have not charity, it don't matter. You can give your body to be burned. Sometimes we give our body to be burned trying to sacrifice for the Lord. We've already gotten a sacrifice. His name is Jesus. All right? You give your body, but you have not love, and it don't mean nothing. So if we don't get this, or we don't approach this just for the love, or just to receive the love, we're reading and studying in vain. Sometimes we do our church thing in vain because we're trying to be traditional. Don't disrespect God with your traditions. Don't disrespect God with just wanting him or just doing something for him to be a production center for you. Realize it's love on all sides of everything that we do for God. Number one, we learn the love of God. The scripture says, he said, Lord, what's the great commandment in the law? He's trying to test him. What's the great commandment in the law with promise? He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. Right? That means just get to know him and love him. That's the first one. And it says, and then there's two sides, love on both sides of us. It's love all around us. This is the reason why you study the word. You think you study your word because you're trying to get a revelation. And I like revelation, don't y'all? Tell the truth, I like revelation. I really enjoy getting revelation knowledge, but for what? For why? I know that ain't good English. For why? What you need a revelation for? Uh-oh. Why you need it? What you need a revelation for? I don't need a revelation. You need reading the word because you're going to get some spiritual facts in your head so you can debate with somebody. You don't say that, but you know you be wanting to tell somebody what you know about Jesus. It'll make you feel good about yourself. I understand. Me too. Can we be honest? This is an honesty class right here. Just, I know. Read the word for all the different other things that we do. There's love all around. If love is not coming in from it, if you don't approach it in love and lead with it with love, then you missed it. When you approach the word, you should approach it looking for love. Huh? In love, looking for love. And when you leave your study time, you should have more love coming out of you. Hold on. The first commandment is that you love the Lord your God with everything you got. Right? That's the first commandment. It said with promise, which means you're going to do it and the promise is going to be fulfilled in you. There's no question in it. There's no You jump in the water, what's going to happen? You get wet. You get wet. We don't even have to have a conversation. There's a pool outside. You jump in. I wonder if she wet. No. You're going. Jump in the pool. There's no question. Inside the sea, there's a harvest. There's no question in that. It's already in there. Let me go back. You approach it in love. You approach it in love, right? With promise. So that means if I do this, then the promise it's the first commandment with promise. All right, with. What does it mean to be with? There's another verse of the Bible that says, with God, all things are possible. And I mean, if you're with him, there's no impossibilities. All right? You're with him. What does it mean to be with something? What does it mean to be with something? It's right along. You came in the door with me. We came in together. We're all right. Who you roll with? Who you rolled here with, all right? Y'all got here together in the same vehicle. Right? That makes sense to you? So the first commandment with promise. So that means it's the first commandment. It ain't really a commandment to you until you be obedient. Let's be honest. Until the obedience is a full, it's not a commandment, it's just a saying. But it's the first commandment with promise. So that means when you fulfill this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what happens? Same scripture. All these things will be added. If I seek the kingdom, all these things will be added. We don't have to go look for these things. All these things will be added when I seek first the kingdom. Kingdom. All right? So the first commandment, love the Lord your God with everything you got, with promise. When I get this done, the promise to me will be fulfilled. I don't have to go look for the money. I don't have to go look for the healing. I don't have to go look for the relationship. I don't have to look for whatever it is that we think that we're going to look for. I ain't got to go look for it. I just got to love him, and it comes with it. We're going to get the second thing, because love all around. Everybody say love all around. But there's love all around this word, all right? It's on the front, the back, the side, the top, the bottom. It's surrounded in love. It's engulfed in love. It's engulfed in God is love, right? God is love. It's engulfed in it. Many things that we're trying to put the word of God on, are trying to put faith on, and we call it the kingdom work, ain't the kingdom work. It's an effect of the kingdom. Most of the stuff that we out here trying to confess about and put the word on is really God saying, no, you're going the wrong way. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're putting the word on the wrong thing. Because if you love me, love the Lord your God, it's with promise. You see, first, all these will be added. It's knee jerk. Punch you in the eye, it's going to start swelling. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to say a confession. It is an effect of a cause. Are y'all with me? So most of the stuff that we're trying to do the word for and put the word on are only manifestation of what the kingdom will do. It's only a manifestation of what the love will do if you get a grip of the love. Are y'all with me? So now, you know, what you dealing with? What's your problem? What you dealing with? Hold on, don't answer me. What's your problem? What you dealing with? What's your problem? What's the thing that you can't get over? What's that amount of money that you're trying to bleed for, but it don't seem to come in? And you're going so, but it ain't coming in. Maybe you don't have a grip. Temple to be holy so that he can move through. Maybe you don't, and it's not a condemnation. I love you. It's not a condemnation statement, but it's maybe you don't have a grip. You know, sometimes traditionally and religiously in the church as a whole in the world, we learn wrong. Right? And so we approach for whatever other reason. No. If I love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and everything I got, that's the first commandment with promise. But what am I promised? Come on, Reverend. What are we promised? What does God promise us? Answer me. What are the promises of God? When we became born again, we got a set of promises, didn't we? You ain't gotta list them. Don't look for the scripture. Well, the promises of God are Taoist. No, it don't say it like that. What are the promises? That I can be healthy, that I can be wealthy, that I can have direction, that I can have clarity, that I can have everything that God has provided for me, every good thing. That's a promise, right? So all them good things, the promise, it comes with promise, but just love me. That's all. We make it hard. We made it real hard, carry the one, and we do all this, and then the subordinate numbers and the common denominator. Love me. when you get up, can you just love me? Please? Let me love you. You know what? You ain't got to. You might not get it all right now. You might not even know how to, because we really can't know how to love until he teaches us how to love anyway. But you might not know how to do it right. You might not, just come to me. Search the scripture, and you think they have life, but they testify of me, but you won't come unto me. At John 5:39. Just come to me. Come to me and I'll show you what it's all about. So love me with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Everything you got, right? And that's the first commandment with promise. But why? Because if that's the first commandment, that's the first one, right? Come on, do we need to go to the scripture? Y'all know it's in the Bible, right? So don't be sitting up here and go tell nobody I wasn't preaching the word, all right? It's the first commandment with promise. So if it's the first commandment with promise, that means if I do that, the promise is already there. Then, all right, well, what's next then? Because most of our stuff, we're struggling trying to get the promise. Most of our prayer time and study time spent trying to walk up on the promise. Tell the truth. Don't lie to me. You praying about how your needs going to get met, what God done called you to do, how your thing going to start off, how this going to, it's all, you know, we got all these different things. We put in the wrong direction. Tell the truth. We don't want to say amen about that real loud, but it's the truth. Most of the stuff that we call God, or we call kingdom, is us just trying to get stuff done that we know we're supposed to have. But that first commandment is with promise. So the promise ain't with you. You got to get a grip of that love. Now it's not a year long program. You start loving on God tonight, man. This is not a thing where, you know, 6 months and then you finally know how to love God. No. It's not a workable. There's no days on it. You just approach properly. Boy, when the love of God come upon you, I don't know if you ever. I ain't talking about the heebie-jeebies, no goosebumps. I'm just talking about, if you ever experienced the love of God, like you really got a grip of it, and you really felt the love of God. It might be in a situation, it might not have been at church. You just felt the love of God. When you feel the love of God, man, you're trying to get back there all the time. You can forget everything else. Forget what you're talking about. All this other stuff. I'm trying to get back over there. When I can get there. Now, he ain't, will he withhold any good thing from you? He's not holding nothing back from you, and God ain't running from you neither. So every time you approach, you can experience that love with promise. Watch your life start changing. Y'all believe me? Watch your life start changing when you start approaching in love. Watch when you approach him. Don't approach him for your pastor. Don't approach him for nothing else but the fact that I just want to love God. Don't approach him for your pastor. Don't approach him for the school. Don't approach him because we do it for all these. No, I'm doing this, God, because I love you. If you don't give me nothing else, I still want to know more about you. Yeah. And God do good because he said, we're promised. So now we got the promise out the way. The promise is taken care of. Y'all see that? Yeah. Love the Lord your God with everything, and the promise is taken care of. So now, all right, so now you got a bunch of time on your hands. You got a bunch of time on your hand now, because you was praying 30 minutes about taking care of your child or whatever, but now the promise says I'm going to take care of your children. So what you praying about now? Uh-oh. Whoa. Now it's freed me up a little bit. It's almost like, you know, you're waiting for your house to get paid off, but then when your house get paid off, they get freed up a little bit now, don't it? I can disperse that money in other places now, right? I can sow a little bit. You should have been sowing before, but I can sow a little bit more. You know, I can do some more things. I'm about to get to you, ready? I can help somebody else. Uh-oh. So hold on. So what am I reading this word for? I said last week the Holy Ghost gave me a good one. He said, what you praying in tongues about? You praying in tongues so that you can look good in front of these people? I ain't even that type of person, but it's just. He said, what you praying for? And I thought I was praying the right thing. He said, you pray for them to be able to receive, and then I'll pull out of you what they need. So you won't have to worry about falling. Are y'all understanding me? Hold on. Y'all stick with me. Now, this is living by the book, man. This is living by the book. Why am I studying? You ever ask yourself what I'm studying this word for? I know the scripture. Study to show yourself approved unto God. I know them. This book of law is not a part of my life. I meditate day and night. I know them. You should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I know these scriptures. My son, thou art cleansed through the word of God. I understand those things. But all those things are promises. Why am I really reading? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, your might, your strength, everything you got. Right? First commandment. Not the last one. Not the middle one. He says the first commandment with promise. Are we there? So everything taken care of right there. All my needs, all my wants, all my desires, all my aspirations, all my dreams, all my wonders, all that's in there. So what's next? We got the promise to take care of. What's next? What's the second one? The second one is likened unto it. Y'all know it? Do y'all know it? Huh? Love your neighbor? Love your neighbor, right? How? All right, you say, well, how do I do that? Well, you was loving yourself in verse 1. Ye are of God, little children, right? And overcome them, because great is he that is. What he's saying to you is you come from God. You come from him. Listen to me. Before your mom and them and your dad and them did whatever they did for you to get here, he knew you already. You was already a part of his plan. He the one that called your name and put you on the inside of that belly. So you come from God. So if I love my neighbor like I love myself, if I'm really loving myself right like it's supposed to be in verse 1, then I'm loving on God. So I love my neighbor like I love. So now what's the point? So now what's the point? So now why am I reading this word? Why am I taking this time to study? Am I trying to build my kingdom? No, the problem's already taken care of, right? All your stuff already taken care of, ain't it? So what's the point for the rest of it? What's the point? Well, the second one is just like the first one. The majority of the stuff that you quote-unquote believe in God for and you wonder why it's taking so long or you wonder why it ain't showed up because you got the wrong motive. You're not looking in the right direction. Listen to me. Some of the things that you seem like you're struggling hard to get to is because you got the right. Everything in this Bible, Jesus said, it said, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. Right? Right? And he goes, he thought not robbery, but he made himself of a man. Then he gave it. He would say he was obedient, even obedient unto death. He gave himself for another. Jesus did that. Everybody say Jesus did that. The secrets of Jesus' success was, he said, I myself can do nothing. Read in my last class. He said, I myself can do nothing. He said, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. He said, I don't seek my own will, but that of my Father. Huh? He said, this is Jesus talking. Use your imagination. This is the book. Y'all ready? Think about Jesus standing up here talking to you for a second. However you think he look. All right. Whatever Jesus look like in your head. I know he black, Jesus black. Listen, he the Savior. Wrong now, we all caught up on who look what like what. He's standing right here. You just saw him raise somebody from the dead. You just saw him lay hands on somebody. You just saw somebody get healed by touching the hem of his garment. You just saw him do all these different things. And he stand up and look at you and say, I of myself can do nothing. Come on, use your imagination for a second. Don't it hit home a little different? You're just reading the scripture. John chapter 5. Go ahead, look at it. We're going to read the scripture, then we're going to see the scripture. We're going to read the scripture, and we're going to see the scripture. John chapter 5. Ready to read. Y'all not there? John chapter 5. No, verse 30. Verse 30. John 5, 30. Stop. When Jesus come here and tell you, I can own something. You be like, man, quit playing Jesus. Wouldn't you tell him that? Man, stop playing. I just saw what you did. Right? You come on, use your imagination. Do we go get weak? See, if you use imagination, sometimes you get revelation. Sometimes if you just open up your mind and stop reading like just the ink on the page, but just put yourself there. Put yourself there. Put yourself there for a second. Put yourself there. You sitting there, audience of one. Jesus come talk. He ain't got to be audience of one. He could be coming and talk to his whole class. And Jesus walk in, and he's teaching us. Jesus starts coming in, he starts teaching us. That's what he's doing a lot of times. He's teaching. He comes and he starts teaching us. He said, I of my own self. That's how he started. I of my own self can do nothing. In your mind, well, Lord, I don't. That's why the disciples said, Lord, we don't understand. Y'all, you know, the disciples said that over and over. But what you mean? How the kingdom going to be in us? He was like, I just told you. If you and you bow with the Father, I just told you. That's why they were saying that. Because I wouldn't understand neither if I just saw him do what he did and he come tell me of myself I can do nothing. And look at you. Then he say, as I hear, what did he say? I judge. Now think about it next time before you judge somebody. What you heard. That's good. What you heard made you judge somebody. Now, judgment is not bad. He said, he who is spiritual judges all things. Right? You know, we go to judge that you be not judged, right? Right? We jump on that scripture, right? But say, he who is spiritual judges all things. Jesus is talking about judging. But he said, as I hear, I judge. But see, to everything real, there's a counterfeit. You know, the gossip line or the grapevine? That's a counterfeit. You think you got a revelation, so you judge somebody. You thought you found out some information that nobody else knew. Don't it sound like a false revelation? Huh? No, he's not talking about that judge. That's how we judge. No, he says, I hear, I judge. And he made it clear because the next statement he said what? He said that for a reason. You understand what kind of judgment this is? Then he says, because I seek not mine own. What you reading for? What you reading this word for? Trying to be deep in this chapter, start talking about, you know, the Bible is not there for you to have a bunch of spiritual facts in your head. Did y'all read that part? Don't answer me because I don't know you. It's not about you having a bunch of spiritual facts in your head. It's not just about knowing, it's about obedience. Right? It's not just about you having a bunch. What you reading for? Who you reading for? If you thought you was reading for yourself, you missed it. If you actually thought this was about you, you missed it. Why are you here at this school? What you here tonight for? You stay here, what time it is? You stay here till 9:30 and three classes? What you came here for? What was your intention for coming to this school? You want to validate your ministry? You want to validate your calling, and we all going to say no in this right here. But you want to, what you did it for? I want to be a pastor. You don't get to choose that. Well, we get off with that, though. Don't we? I want to be an apostle one day. What? It's not like saying I want to be an astronaut. It's not an aspiration. And I hope, you know, it's funny, but if y'all got it on your mind, come on, clear it off right quick. Clear it off so God can put in there what he want to put in there. So you can begin to look like him. See, the problem is we've approached God with our wills. But the prayer says, the Lord's prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Wipe your slate clean real quick. What you here for? What you here for? What did you come to this school for? I told a second-year class, I said, maybe I should have told y'all this last year, huh? Told you this on your first year, you wouldn't have gone 2 years. What you here for? Think about it for a minute. Because if your intention is wrong, your result will be wrong. I want to learn more about God. The root word of that whole sentence is I. It's tricky, boy. It's tricky. I'm not saying don't say I ever again. Don't get deep on me. I'm not saying you never say my. I understand that you got to get in your car. All right, so I'm not saying those words are of the devil. But what I'm saying, people, I gotta clear it up. You can say my, I. God, I want to, I get what, but if the whole point is you, then you're missing it. Jesus knew the whole point wasn't him. He said, I of my own self can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Because I seek not what? Whose own will? His own will. This is Jesus talking. Do y'all realize this is God in the flesh? This is the word. I don't seek my own will. But the will of my, what the next line say? Look at it. I want you to read this book. Come on. Will of the Father. Which, what he did to him? He sent him, huh? So he got sent. So when Jesus went somewhere, he was sent there. He didn't choose to go and say, that's what I want to be a pastor. You know what I was just saying? He didn't choose that. He went where he was sent. You know, selfish. Everybody say selfish. You know, sometimes the opposite of love is self. Everybody think hate? Opposite of love is self. Selfish. Everybody say selfish. You know, you could be selfish and you don't even know it. You know, all right, you think of the word selfish. Let's break down. I love this. This is how I study. This is how I search the word. This is how I search myself. This is how I do it. All right, let's think about this. Let the Holy Ghost put his hand on this. All right. The word selfish. Everybody say selfish. All right, now when you think of a selfish person, what are the things you think about? He don't want to give me a piece of his cookie. You don't want to give nothing to nobody. You're mean, nasty, huh? Huh? Oh, nasty, he's just selfish. He's just, right? Right? He's just old dirty rag. He's just looking out for you, huh? And there's a connotation of they just raggedy, right? It ain't always like that. Y'all some pretty nice people. But you can be selfish. You can approach this word selfish. Because you approach for what you can get. It ain't even like, though, I'm saying it like this because it ain't even like it's not like you a taker. You're just a grabby. You know, we think grabby, 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 grabby. I'll push you in the dirt to make sure I make it. It's not even like that. It's just, but you can kind of be about yourself. Some of the nicest people can be selfish. Smile at you, as selfish as ever. You can give something to somebody and still be selfish. Where's your heart? So get over that. You gotta make sure you're not over in the selfiness about self. You approach the word for you. You read the word because what it's gonna do for your ministry. It ain't about your ministry. Matter of fact, ministry wouldn't exist if it wasn't nothing for other people. If there were no other people, there would be no ministry. The root ministry, work ministry, administration, all that's the same word. All it means is to pass out. Listen to me. That's why you got the Ministry of Defense, the Prime Minister. They don't go to church nowhere. They may go to church, but they're not the pastor of the church. They're saying they're passing out things. The Ministry of Defense with the government, they pass out defense. You know, when you look up the word ministry and it goes back and it says the first definition you're going to see is the clergy. You know, and it's just fooling us, man. It's the clergy. So now you think minister, tie, lapel, reverend, pulpit, Bible, church, don't you? As soon as you hear minister, you hear that. You think that, don't you? No, ministry is simply the root, the original word. I looked it up and talking about the Latin. The original word just meant to give out, to pass out. So now I'm an able minister. That means I'm able to pass it out. I'm able to pass out God's will. This is really what it means to be a minister, right? Now remember this. Remember this, the love of God with all your heart and everything is with promise. So that means, it don't mean I ain't going to have nothing. See, the reason the apostle got so much, because he gives so much. The reason God can put so much in an apostle's hand and know that it won't take him away from him is because he knows apostle woke up this morning thinking about y'all and about somebody other than himself. Self-preservation is a murderer sometimes. I can't go into that. That's a whole other message. I heard Apostle say this one time. I got to go. I heard Apostle say this one time. He said, he said, you're under the waters. Can we use our imaginations again? Are y'all with me? All right, come on. Use your imagination. In the water. We in the water. We in the ocean. In the water. We've been down there for a little while. Now it's time to catch that breath. Why do you want to breathe? I'm asking. Because you want to live, right? So you're reaching up for the top. Right there. And sometimes that's how we be. I heard him say this as clear as day. We're trying to breathe so bad. We're trying to live so bad. So we're reaching up for the top. We're trying to reach with our hands for the top. We're trying to swim up there as quick as we can. We're reaching up there because we think the answer's up there. But he said, in order to really go to the top, you got to go deeper. The deeper you go, the higher you go. The deeper you go, the higher you go, right? The deeper you go, the higher you go. But I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown. Good. I hope you do drown. You need to die. You the reason you in the problem you in now. Because you living. Because you reaching. The further you go down, you'll die. And the next thing that happens is a resurrection up to everything that you were trying to reach for with the work of your hands. Sometimes we use the word and it becomes the work of our hands. Are y'all with me? Go down deeper. Go down deep and lose yourself in that word. Lose yourself. Y'all heard what I said? Lose yourself in that word. Lose yourself. Drown in that love. What is the breadth and length and depth? That's talking about the love of God. I ain't got time to go to the scripture. Look up the depth. It's deeper than you know. It'll drown you and kill you and then bring you back to life as a new created creature. It'll transfigure you into what you're supposed to be. But we got to dive in. We got to dive into that love and go all the way to the point to where we die. Stay under there. How many of y'all have been in the water before? You held your breath, try to do, we used to do the little count game. See who can hold their breath the longest? And you'd be under the water. No, but you pop up. You automatically pop up. You couldn't keep yourself down that long if you wanted to. Uh-oh. I'm sorry, closer to the camera. Listen. Thanks, Holy Ghost. Everybody say thank you, Holy Ghost. You couldn't keep yourself down under that water if you wanted to. Let's just say you wanted to drown yourself. You couldn't do it. It takes a bigger body of water, number one, and you couldn't keep yourself. I mean, unless you can't swim, but you couldn't keep yourself under. Somebody else had to hold you under there in order for you to die. You can't just do it on your own. You couldn't just do it. Had to be something else. Holy Spirit, this is Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit says all things, yea, the deep things of God. He bring you down and then drown you and drown yourself so you can die to self and become alive to the love of God. Are y'all with that? Are y'all understanding that? Let's get back to the scripture. I, my own self, can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. It's just. Right? And I don't seek of my own will, but that which is of the Father. And his next statement trips me out. In verse 31, the Father would send me. Don't forget that part. Let's not skip that. Let's not unrightly divide the word. Let's rightly divide the word. He sent you. Everybody say, send me. Don't you go nowhere unless the Lord sends you somewhere. And if he's going to send you, he's going to confirm it with his man of God. Why do you think he gave you apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers? For the perfecting of the saints. What does it mean to be perfected? Grow up. People go out there try to start stuff as babies. Would you put your baby on the pulpit? Oh, okay, no, let's not go to the pulpit. Would you let your baby drive your car? Hell no. Right. That's how you scream. I know it's in your head. You're like. So babies don't need to be driving no miniature neither. I didn't call you baby. Listen. All I'm saying is let him grow you up. If he grow you up, they told us, you don't let your child lift, don't let your little boy lift weights before he's 13, right? Before he's 13, 12, 13, don't let him lift weights because he's going to stunt his growth. This is something literally they tell you. No, this ain't the Bible. They ain't the Bible. That's not the Bible. That's what they tell you in school. Like, you don't need to be lifting weights because you're in a developmental stage. And it's imperative that you grow in the most organic growth there can be. So you don't need to be lifting no weights because it's going to stunt your growth. Let them grow you up. You know, shoot, we talking about going off in the ministry, your ministry next door. You want to go on the mission field to Africa, praise the Lord for Africa. But you want to go to Africa, do y'all want to go on a mission trip? I'll take you on a mission trip. It ain't going to cost you nothing. Listen, I'm going to get a bus. And y'all laugh, I'm going to get a bus. Count how many. I'm going to get a bus. I'm going to load all y'all inside. You thought we were going to New Orleans, huh? You thought we were going to Baton Rouge? I will put you in the bus and take you half a mile down the street, and we got a mission field. Come on, we can go the other way, mission field. But you want to go sign up for a mission trip? What you did on the trip you had when you went to the grocery store the other day? God, give me a ministry. Lord, send me to the world. Heard somebody say, I'm going to start an organization. I'm going to start a nonprofit organization. I'm going to help young ladies. I said, why are you helping any young ladies now? Before your paperwork comes through? Before your ordination comes through? Or your licensing as a minister comes through? Are you helping them now? You know, Ephesians 4 said we're all ministers. Are you ministering now? You don't need a doctorate. Or a reverend. No, are you ministering or not? See, you don't. Let me tell you something about apostle. Can I tell you something about apostle? Let me share a quick story with you. And we were sitting at the table yesterday. And we was sitting there eating. He didn't preach his message. We stayed until 1 yesterday because we had a lot of testimonies. He didn't done his job that day. Did what he had to do. All right, now it's rest time. Eat with the family, then we're going to rest. So we can sit there. I'm going to say this to say something else. We're going to sit at the table, and we sit at the table eating, and my cousin starts to talk. My cousin by marriage, she starts to talk. And then my cousin starts talking, and they start talking about, you know, one of their next door neighbors, which is why I say your mission field is next door. You ain't got to go that far. Sometime it'll come find you. You better answer right. Be prepared. And the family next door was dealing with something with their daughter, and it was just oppressing the enemy. It was just trying to mess over the young girl. Nice young girl, beautiful young girl, just trying to. And so he telling us about it. They telling how nice the people are and this and that. And so we talking. So, you know, the next thing we do, this is what we do as church people, this is what we do. We start throwing out, well, you know, tell her this scripture, right? Tell her to read this. You know, we got a little deep now, you know what I'm saying? So tell her, show me your glory, right? You know, so we throwing all these instructions out. We don't know if it's the Holy Ghost or not. Doing all these great things. Y'all know how we do. We answer before we get an answer. As soon as I come up, we start quoting the scripture on it. All right, let me go back. So, Paul said that. He said, we talk a little. He said a couple things that he said. He did like this. He said, you think they really want to help their daughter? And she said, my cousin said, yeah. He said, because I'll get up and go right now. It's apostle. I get up and go right now. Get on the phone, call up. They open, I'll go over there right now and minister to their daughter. Got the lady on the phone, she opened. We jumped in the car and drove over there. Stayed over there at 3:30, almost 4 o'clock. Minister to the girl, girl get delivered, got filled with the Holy Ghost, her and her mama. But you want a ministry. You want to preach to 20,000? No, what about that one? Lord, Jesus got on me. Jesus got on me. I'm riding down this road, coming to church. About 6 months ago, I'm coming to church down this Highway 22. I came the back way to church. Didn't come the normal way. Came the back way. Then he said, what about one by one? He said, you're trying to put all this stuff out to try to reach the masses. What about one by one, though? Jesus did it one by one. He missed that woman with the issue of blood, then went to that man's daughter, then went to Zacchaeus' house. One by, everybody say, one by. That's where your ministry starts. Let me take you back. Now, this is why God can use you like this. This is why God can use you, and this is why he can use the apostle. Because he's going to get up. Apostle used to do that back in the gap when he first started, when he wasn't a pastor. He was serving his pastor, going house to house. Serving communion to the people that were sick and shut in. Y'all know that, right? You know, sick and shut in, right? We don't say that too much. But see, they couldn't. So, but they got to get communion. So you go and they preach a message. His pastor preached a message at every house. Then he started doing it himself. House to house. But we talking about 40-some years later. We talking about, let's go. Y'all ready? We talking about 40-some years later. You know, hundreds, almost thousands of members later. Thousands of ministry engagements later, millions of dollars later, everything taken care of later, and you'll still do the same thing that you did when you ain't had nothing. You ain't got to go nowhere for no ministry. Next time your mind say, I'm supposed to go start this. See if that's you or him. Y'all, are y'all familiar? I know I got 1 minute. Y'all familiar with the word sedition? All y'all might not be familiar with it. It's in the Bible. Sedition, look at the word sedition, and it says, when you're inside an authority or a government and you try to overthrow the government for your own will. That means you're inside, can we get sedition? Can we take it to minister to the church? You're inside another man's ministry, but you're trying to start your own. And you try to do everything you can to get your ministry advanced out of that. That's called sedition. Everybody say sedition. Now, sedition comes from selfishness because you're just thinking about your kingdom and about what you can do and what you can get across. Are y'all listening to me? Not sent, but you're trying to go. You're trying to win without being sent. I heard a statement the other day that says almost 70% of churches that exist right now were started out of the spirit of sedition. So we see why there's no fruit. It cannot be your will. If it goes down to the nitty gritty, to the prayer, like you're praying tomorrow, what you praying for? Because if it's just for you, you're missing it. And that's why we ain't getting no answers. All right? You're praying. But if you ain't getting what you're supposed to get, or it ain't showing up like it's supposed to show up, then what's the problem? When you sow for another. That's when that harvest will start popping loose. When you sow into your man of God, you sow because I just want him to have more. Uh-oh. I just want him to have more than he had before I got to him. And that's when your harvest is going to start popping off. You paying tithe, you sow into a church. You do that because you want them to have more than they had before you got to them. It's for another. Every principle in the Bible works for another. If it ain't for somebody else, it ain't gonna work. You at the school for somebody else. You just don't know it yet. Amen.